KALW.
From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live in West Menlo Park.
Haight-Ashbury.
I live in the Western Addition.
Vernal Heights.
San Bruno.
Coming up, environmentalists march in San Francisco ahead of the Global Climate Action Summit.
To just think that cap and trade is being put forward as one of the real solutions to climate change is so offensive.
Then the new national director of Green for All shares her vision for a cleaner future.
We're all Flint, and we need to make sure that we're standing up for those communities so that there's no more Flints.
And a Muslim rapper from Oakland is making her mark and facing the haters head on.
When I would get such negative feedback from Muslims, I was like, dang. But you gotta keep it moving.
Stay tuned, Cross Currents is coming up. The eyes of the environmental world are on San Francisco this week, where global leaders are gathered to talk about climate change. It's a few years after the Paris Climate Agreement and a year since President Donald Trump said the U.S. would pull out of the accord. We'll hear more about the Global Climate Action Summit in a few minutes, but first we'll turn to a more grassroots action that happened Saturday. Thousands of people gathered at the foot of Market Street in San Francisco for the Rise for Climate March to United Nations Plaza. It's an action timed to coincide with the summit. KALW's Ben Trefney was there and put together this collection of sounds from the march.
The people gonna rise like the water. We gonna calm this crisis down. I hear the voice of my great-granddaughter singing, keep it in the ground.
My name is Didi Manzanares Ibarra. I am the tribal chair of the Rumsen Ama Turatai Ohlone. In our language, means Rumsen people of the Ohlone land. And I'm here for our people to welcome the world today to San Francisco, everyone for their causes. Everyone is here because with all the atrocities and everything that's happening in today's society, it is damaging our land, damaging Mother Earth, and we're here to put up some prayers for that.
My name is Doria Robinson. We're with the Our Power Coalition in Richmond. I'm a third generation Richmond resident. I've been in the kind of shadow of the refinery all my life. So many people in our community suffer from asthma, from cancer, from everything. And to just think that cap and trade is being put forward as one of the real solutions to climate change is so offensive. It's like a slap in the face for everyone who's, you know, in harm's way on those frontline communities across the world.
California, originally from Chicago. I'm here to support climate, jobs, and justice. We need to keep fossil fuels in the ground to the maximum extent possible. That means our own personal lifestyles have to change to deal with that reality, and we have to move now.
It's a revolution of the people, a revolution that does away with the exploitation of capitalism. You know why they can't save the planet? Because they don't make them no money. You know why they can't save the planet? Because ain't nobody getting rich off of it. You know why they can't save the planet?
Evolution got so.
I think it's beautiful. It's a beautiful day, and it's amazing. It's wonderful. But we all have to remember, this is not just one day. You live this life every day.
For our children, for our kids, for our future community. That is why we are here as the indigenous community. We believe strongly that we have to take care about our Madre Naturaleza. Without her, there is no life.
Those were voices and sounds from the Rise for Climate March, which drew thousands of people to downtown San Francisco on Saturday. You can find many photos from the event, along with images of massive murals that now surround the grounds of San Francisco's UN Plaza, all at our Twitter page. We're at KELW. This is Cross Currents. I'm Henat Baba. That march was part of a week called It Takes Roots, Solidarity to Solutions, and it puts a focus on communities on the front lines of environmental crises. While that's going on, the Global Climate Action Summit is starting Wednesday in San Francisco. World leaders will evaluate how far we've come since the Paris Agreement. The three-day event is co-chaired by Governor Jerry Brown. Al Gore will be there, along with Dolores Huerta. Libby Schaff and London Breed will be joined by the mayors of Paris and Los Angeles, secretaries and senators, prime ministers and presidents. It's a big deal. One featured speaker is Van Jones, former green jobs czar in Barack Obama's White House and founder of Oakland's Green for All, which advocates simultaneously for clean energy and job production. Green for All named a new national director this month, Michelle Romero. KELW's Ben Trefney sat down to talk with her and asked where we can see examples of the green economy in effect right here in the Bay Area.
So Oakland, for example, is a community that's surrounded on all sides by busy freeways and highways.
Right.
You've got diesel trucks running through certain neighborhoods on their way to the port and just idling all of those fumes, exhaust spewing into neighborhoods. So there's been a project now to plant 1,000 trees in Oakland, and the community-based group that got the contract to do that work is Planting Justice, which employs formerly incarcerated communities, actually, in those neighborhoods to help clean the air and do this sort of urban forestry work in their own neighborhoods.
And so how are you involved with that then?
Yeah, so Green for All advocates for the policies that bring those funds to communities. And then we work with community partners to make sure that they're the ones on the ground saying the kinds of things they want to see happen in their community, right? We want the funds to go to the things that are going to solve the pollutions communities say they have, right? And invest in the solutions that they're actually creating themselves.
I was looking through your website and you mentioned the carbon pricing that you guys are working on to try to make sure that some of this funding ends up going into the communities where it's most needed. I saw you also have, for example, Fix the Pipes. And there's a lot of celebrities who are associated with that. Tell me about some of that work you do with people like the hip-hop artist Common.
Yeah. So, you know, a few years ago, Flint, Michigan made its way into the national news. The governor had switched the water source for drinking water of all the Flint residents from, you know, one source to the Flint River, which they didn't treat before pumping that water into homes. And so thousands of people, I mean, everyone who lived there was poisoned. And we saw a need and an opportunity to really call attention to Flint and keep it in the national news long enough to actually achieve real solutions. We wanted to make sure it wasn't just this blip on people's radar, that there was awareness built around it, but no solutions. We wanted to make sure there were real solutions. And so we worked with celebrities to help amplify what was going on, to help get the message out there, to back then, you know, call on the Obama administration to work with Congress on a policy that would send $100 million to Flint to fix the pipes. And so with that, we also, you know, continued the effort through grassroots fundraising and worked with celebrities like Common and others to, you know, put out a call to their followers and their supporters and say, hey, let's all pitch in. You know, we're all Flint. So whether you're from Flint or whether you're from Fruitvale and Oakland or places in South San Francisco, the Tenderloin, and you're affected by dirty water or dirty air or unsafe soil, we're all Flint, right? And we need to make sure that we're standing up for those communities so that there's no more Flints, so that nowhere, you know, is it going to be unsafe to drink your tap water or breathe your air. That's what we're fighting for.
We're speaking with Michelle Romero. She is the new national director of Green for All, based in Oakland. On the governor's desk right now is this proposal to make the electric grid completely based on clean energy by 2045.
Right.
Do you think that that's realistic? It seems very ambitious. And how do you think we would get there?
So SB 100, which would commit the state to use renewable energy, 100% renewable energy by 2045, I think it's possible. I mean, I think that anything is possible when we set our minds to it and then work aggressively to get it done. And so I think that the first step would be Governor Brown signing this piece of legislation. Hopefully he does that soon. And I think that's great. I think we also need to figure out, though, the supply side. So it's one thing to say California will use only 100% clean energy, but still, if we're being a producer then of dirty energy that we're just exporting outward, that's not quite going to solve the problem. So we need to do that side too and begin phasing out of fossil fuels.
Do you think that it's realistic
to do that? Yeah, like I said, I mean, there. If you're bringing together the former presidents of Ireland and Chile, and you've got governors from states all across the country and the world, and you've got prime ministers coming, and you can't solve it, then we're in real trouble. So, you know, I certainly hope so. And I think that, you know, setting a goal and then actually doing what's necessary to achieve it, I think is possible.
So since you obviously put a lot of time and energy into this professionally, I'm wondering, since you got involved in this kind of work, what's something that might have surprised you about how you've changed your lifestyle to become more environmentally conscious?
Yeah, you know, I think the way I came into this work is interesting. I have not thought of myself as an environmentalist all my life. I truthfully, when I took this job, was telling my boss who recruited me for it, I said, you know, I know that what you're trying to do must be good, but I don't know if I'm going to be really passionate about the environmental stuff. And I think that's because the environmental movement sort of has this brand around it that it's just for white, more affluent coastal communities. And as a woman of color, I didn't necessarily identify as a tree hugger or someone who wanted to save the whales necessarily. But I'll say that for me, what's changed was when I saw, maybe it was 5 or 6 years ago at this point, on my local news, I was sitting at home in Newark, California at the time where I was living. And Richmond had just had another oil refinery explosion, the Chevron oil refinery. And they were calling for residents to shelter in place and telling people that if you could find towels and blankets to plug the cracks in your doors, that you should find them and do that because the air outside your home was so unsafe to breathe. And I have a friend who lived in Richmond at the time, and I remember calling her and saying, oh my gosh, Blanca, have you heard the news? There's been this oil explosion. Are you inside? Are you safe? And she informed me I am. And she kind of laughed at me. And she said, you know, this happens all the time. And we have an alarm system in the city. It happens so much that we have an alarm system in the city that lets us know when we need to get inside. And I thought, wow, for that to be so normal. And it's normal because it's a place like Richmond. It's normal because it's a low income immigrant community, African-American community, that we don't see it everywhere. And so between places like Richmond and places like Flint, you know, that's what ultimately this is about. It's not just about saving the planet. It's about saving the people, which will save us all.
That's Michelle Romero, the new national director of Green for All, which advocates for a clean energy economy. She spoke with KLW's Ben Trefney. Green for All will be part of the Global Climate Action Summit, which starts Wednesday in San Francisco. Find all the information at kalw.org. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Ababa. A young musician in Oakland is making waves in the Muslim community, Aaliyah Sharif. You may remember her from the Women's March on Washington.
Fasting in these hard times, living my rhyme, trying to envision a better picture, division divides, money by me.
She's part of a new generation of Muslim hip-hop artists following in the footsteps of people like Mos Def, now known as Yasiin Bey, and Lupe Fiasco, Q-Tip, Ali Shaheed Muhammad. For her, being Muslim and doing hip-hop is just natural, even though she does get a lot of flack from folks who don't like seeing a Muslim woman in hijab in the public eye rapping, not to mention the Islamophobic trolls online. And it's a challenge, but she's pretty resilient. For her, music is an expression of faith that she's not letting go of. We meet Aaliyah in this installment of Bay Area Beats, brought to you by the Stoop Podcast.
I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA. Cocaine quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA.
I believe in that whole, I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA. I believe in that because, you know, my grandmother was a poet in Mississippi, Margaret Block, and she had her own books. And she told me at a young age, like, girl, you have to pencil whip. And pencil whip meant, like, instead of, like, fighting at school, because, you know, you go through adolescence and teenage years and everything, and, you know, she was like, you have to use your words, you have to use the power behind, like, what your ability is. Because I would always sing and perform, and me and my sisters, there's, like, heck of us. So we'd be like, okay, everybody sit on the couch, it's time for our show. And we really would perform, like, for real, like, dance moves and everything. So, you know, my grandma saw that and was just like, look, girl, you need to start taking this writing thing serious because we all have this in our family and, like, it's been passed down to you. So do it the way we all been doing it.
Don't forget me. Hey, what's up? I be walking on the straight path, trying to hold fast. Ooh, they mad, cause I had a whip ass. All this damage, they chastising band, but they not gonna win. Cause Shaitan, your enemy, still trying to play it like your friend. She keeps on passing me by. Been doing this for hip-hop since I was knee-high. Trying to keep my head up, stay ahead of the line. Got everybody watching, I'm ahead of my time. I ride slow cause I wanna be hot. And I don't want no one up under me. I'ma be who I be and can't me. They hate it so they wanna leave. I don't trust nobody but Allah and my family. My mama taught me to be something like a veteran, but she got a better within.
You know, music is my life. And it's always been my life. And that's the funny thing. It's like, if I run away from music, it's gonna find me some way, some shape. You know, I was waitressing for a long time. And a lot of my first, like, mixtape that I made, which is Mental Cycles and Mood Swings, I was waitressing and I would be writing, like, all my lyrics on the tabs, like, literally. And my coworkers would be, like, cheering me on the whole way through. Like, okay, what's the update on this song? Because I would, like, say a little rap while I'm in the kitchen with them or, like, while we're on break. And then I record it. And then next thing you know... So it was like, it's a part of me, you know what I mean? It is a part of me. And when I graduated, I just knew, like, okay, time to really, like, kick this thing into full gear and to, like, wear it. Because I also, you know, it wouldn't be fair if I didn't mention the fact of, you know, being a Muslim and just, like, all of the discouragement from doing music, which was also a part of it, a big part of it. It was like, okay, I don't want to go to hell now, you know, I try to burn, you know, so I would be like, dang, like, I shouldn't put this in the front seat. So it took some time.
Know what my worth is.
I mean, everything a Muslim artist could face, I faced, you know, from people leaving, you know, if it's at an Islamic venue or whatever the location may be, because it's haram, people, you know, coming up to you. The devil has you under a spell and is hypnotizing you. You're actually, like, working for, you know, Shaitan. You're not even supposed to be on stage. You're a woman. You're not following Islamic tradition. A lot of my music was really personal to me. Like, the song I wrote about the Prophet, like, I literally would cry before I recorded it because I just was so moved. Like, oh my God, they say all this stuff about you. Like, they, you know, they have such a bad look towards, like, the religion of Islam in general. Like, let me say this to clarify some things. And then just learning about him while I'm making the song, while I'm composing the lyrics.
When Allah intended to create the best creation, he created the light in Muhammad, so they were solemn. They're like, who could this be?
And literally, I dropped that song and I had someone, imams, like, yo, this is a beautiful song. You guys need to get with this. Like, it was, mashallah, it was, you know, which is, you know, God willed. It was great. And then you have situations where you have people just going at me. Like, how could you make a song about the prophet? Like, you are haram. You are this and this and this and that and this. And a lot of it I block out. That's why I'm like this and that and this and that. Because, I mean, the inboxes, through my inbox, through what I receive, like, just inboxes alone is just like, what's wrong with y'all? Like, are you guys okay? I'm okay. Are you? Like, you know, and worry about what you're doing, you know, instead of trying to deem me to hell, you know, instead of a big embrace. My experience with that song was actually a real cold shoulder. I have had a performance where, like, the audience left, and I was, you know, and this was years ago, but I was really sad. And my friend was there. And, you know, she was just super boosting me up. Like, you know, girl, forget them. Like, who cares, you know? So when I would get such negative feedback from Muslims, I was like, dang. It is discouraging. It is, you know. But you got to keep it moving.
I stay hijabbed up, modest in my fashion, classy. I'ma make it last cause it's happening. I ain't never worried about no has-beens or no trends. Just trying to blend in, nah. Yeah. Aaliyah, yeah, Sharif.
Like that, like that, like that, like that, like that. What they don't understand, these people that will do that, like the cyberbullying, what they don't understand is not only are you driving the actual person and people around that person is telling away from, like, the true essence of the message, but you're also, like, creating this, like, cloud of don't do, don't mess with art, don't mess with music, don't, you can't do this. And that's where we lose culturally. You know, we always get slack for catch up with the times, get with the times. And I'm not saying, like, tradition can't be carried on through generations. I'm totally not, like, throw out whatever because the time has changed. But, you know, you have to look at everything. Like, music is a very powerful tool. You know, I'm still going to express myself regardless, you know, and I'm not afraid.
You better fall back, cause you don't even know me like that. You wanna hear me on the radio?
Hey, this is my one right here.
Aaliyah Sharif. You never gon' phase us. My girls rock. We still get this paper. My girls rock. You mess or you hate us. Every city, my girls, we rock. Every city, my girls, we rock. We rock. Every city, my girls, we rock. Every city, my girls, we rock. We rock. Every city, my girls, we rock. Every city, my girls, we rock. We rock. Every city, my girls, we rock. Every city, my girls, we rock. I ain't no Taliban, just counting bands. My girls rock. Tell a friend.
Oh, celebration. I just needed to celebrate real quick. Like, oh my God, I rock, we rock. Like, we rock. We really do rock.
You wish you could get with my style. Wish you could copy my files. Wish you weren't so indie now. Wish you could handle these trials.
We are the rock. We're standing on the rock and we rock. Like, it was a need for me because sometimes you just get put in a box, you know? Oh, she's Muslim, so therefore, you know, she's Muslim, so therefore. You know, and it's difficult too, because it's like a lot of times I feel like in the mainstream media, the face of Islam is, it's an Arab face. It's not a face that looks like mine. So that's even more reason to just keep putting me in this box, you know? So this song, not only was it like, okay, I really want to empower women because, you know, I did the Women's March. I've been all, like, a lot of my fan base are women, girls, you know, Black melanation. Like, it's been suffering some stuff again in the media and in the community. And we're still here through all the tragedies, through all the discrimination, through all the hate, through all the misogyny in hip hop. We're still here. And you know what? We rock. And I felt like I really wanted to give that to my peoples, my fans, my supporters, my family, my mom. I wanted to give that song to her so bad, too. I was like, Mama, I got something for you, girl. You mad cause we made it. You mad cause we made it. Yalla, habibi. Yeah, yalla, habibi. My girls rock. Yalla, habibi. Yeah, yalla, habibi. Like, it's bigger than me. And, you know, only the Most High is, like, helping me create what I can create and do what I could do. So, yeah. My girls, we rock, we rock. Every city, my
girls, we rock. Every city, my girls, we rock, we rock. Aaliyah Sharif performs tomorrow as part of the week-long Solidarity to Solutions Summit. That's in San Francisco's La Raza Park. All the details are at KALW.org. And that piece comes from the Stoop podcast, hosted by me and Leela Day. Hear more episodes at thestoop.org. For Cross Currents, I'm Hana Baba. Oakland, Sacktown, Bay Area, back down. Detroit, NYC, Compton, Long Beach, overseas, rolling deep, Miami, every city, Kingston, ATL, Chi-Town.